Where the presence of the Lord is, that is holy ground. Amen?
Yes.
That is holy ground where his presence is. Deuteronomy 31:8. Let me just share this with you. Give you something to think about here. Like, wow, it's awesome. It says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So here we go again. I'll read again. The Lord is the one who goes with you. He goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you. Okay, so if the Lord is walking with you, think about this book. We're saying right now, his presence, woo, we're standing on holy ground, right? Because his presence is here. Well, who's with you walking down the street? God is. Who's with you walking, standing in the line at Walmart? Huh? Wherever you go, is he with you? Is it not that you are standing on holy ground wherever you go because the Lord is with thee? Amen. Now, listen to this. You're the caretaker of that holy ground. Woo! Think of that. Think of that. The caretaker. Wow. He is with us all the time, so we should honor him all the time. Amen. Woo! Whatever you wouldn't do here in church, you wouldn't want to do somewhere else. Because you are standing on holy ground. I mean, this will give you like a, woo, like a epiphany, is that what they say? Like, wow, a revelation? That wherever you're at, you're standing on holy ground. He is with you. Oh, my lands. He don't forsake you. He don't leave you. So when you're at darkness of the night, where your fear try to raise up on you, you ever have that? Fear try to get hold of you? Wait. This is holy ground. I'm standing with the Lord. He is with me. I will praise Jesus now. We're in the middle of your storm. You pray, you just lift up your voice and praise him. Remember what he said? Put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Lift up his name today. Something like that. And I know, I probably had it wrong. But the thing of it is, but you understand,
that's where he gets it.
You sing your song your way, I'll sing it my way. But you know, I might combine two of these songs. I'm not sure. But see, I mean, I figure when I'm doing that, the Lord, oh, it's dark, you're doing it again. That's how I'm out, you know. But it shakes off. It reminds me who I am in Christ. Man, it gives you strength. Amen. The thing about today, wherever you go, as he is with you, it's holy ground. Now we can drag him through the manure pile if we want to, but we won't want to, will we? You know? And that's the last thing we want to do. So I think this here gives us more. Yes. Okay. Oh, no, no. Okay, no, you're fine. You praise him and speak in tongues. Amen. Amen. But we would never do it purposely, dragging through a manure pile, would you? No. I mean, none of us would probably be purposely walking here with dog poo and stuff on our boots. You know, it has happened before, accident. You know, we've got dogs, okay? Or cows or cats, you know. Wild kids. Okay. But we think for a second, wow. Wherever I go, it's holy ground. He's with me. He just, wow. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like some of you here, you clean the church. Wow. You might clean the church better than you clean your home. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, at your house, you can close that door, nobody will know you didn't clean the bathroom today. Amen? But in here, they can say, oh, somebody didn't do this. So you're a little more cautious, man. This is God's house. We realize God's house is where we're at, right? Amen? But when we get that revelation like that, wow. And the way I want to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Everywhere I go, it's holy ground. You're with me. And it helped me spiritually. Toronto, God, it's kind of like I always say, sometimes if I go to the big box stores, I always pray before I go in, because they can really be trying to me, you know, because this is the way people act a lot of times. I'll be like, man, I'm going in there. Where I'm going to stand, I'm going to honor God where I'm at. You know? Yeah, amen. Vicki, you had something there. Yes. Oh my. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And when you say, let's praise Jesus, when the name of Jesus is spoken, folks, it's more than our guardian angels. They're on high alert. Like, okay, what are we doing? Oh, they're praising the Lord. Yeah, amen. It's just, it's awesome. It's just an awesome thing, you know. So I just, wow. Well, I better step down and get my message, yeah. But I think a lot of guys are fantastic. It's just beautiful. It's just, Don't you just love the way God keeps exposing Himself more and more? You know, I don't know how many times we have sang that song in my lifetime. I love that song. But wow, just, that's the wheels of my thing here, honey. Oh, will you turn the lights on there for me? I lost my water bottle somewhere. There we go. But it's knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and just, I mean, that's who we are. You know, that's who we are. We're followers of Jesus. And every day as we hear His Word and we worship Him, you are transformed more and more into His image. Think of that. You think, oh, you're saying I'm Jesus? No, I'm saying you'll be like Jesus. He's changed you. How many people have been changed since they started walking with Jesus? Amen. I mean, you know, you get around old friends, they don't recognize you. Like, who are you? Amen. And it, not because of your gray hair, okay, but just your personality, it just changes you, you know. And I was thinking earlier, you know, that, well, I'll wait till I get the scripture there. But we have been talking about and sharing, God has lately, about your foundation. And we write to Peter and says, you're the rock. I'll build my rock upon this church. My church upon this rock. And Peter's acknowledgement was that Jesus is Christ. That He is the Son of God. And he started building his life on that. But we saw Peter fall quite a few times, right? Even when he acknowledged that foundation. But man, he got back up again. Jesus reinstated him again and again. Finally got to the part he never fell again in the scriptures part of it. And that's where we are. We need to be. In the scriptures, two things that stick in my mind. Number one is, you know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. Amen. The truth. And in scriptures in John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. In verse 6 it says, in verse 5 it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we'll get caught up in this a little bit. But we're looking at here, he's saying, abiding him, staying in his word. Staying and let himself pour him into you. Anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow for sure? Anybody know what's going to happen in 2 hours from now? Anybody know how time I get done preaching today? No. Yeah. No, we don't. 3 o'clock. Okay, I'll shorten it up a little bit. No. It's never the length of the sermon. It's the content. And sometimes it can be 10 minutes, and sometimes it can be 3 hours. You know, the Spirit of God leads. But when you come to church, you worship Him, then God, what do you have for me? What have you laid upon the pastor's heart to share with me today that's going to help me? My walk with you. God, I want to honor you. And today, we're still in the abiding. It is allowing this word to come into your life. Because you might be doing fantastic today. I mean, we're all doing fantastic. We're born again. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And if you get into something on Thursday and you're not prepared for it, how are you going to respond to it? Be kind of difficult, right? What you'd probably do is call somebody, right? I would. If I got in something I never happened before, but I knew Fred had to pay, Fred, can you help me out here? I was thinking during praise and worship about Fred and I were in law enforcement. And we were blessed in a way, but we entered in law enforcement, I think Fred, about the same time I did, after the hippie revolution, okay? Meaning back in the 60s, if you joined law enforcement, they could pick you out anywhere because your hair was short. And everybody else had their hair on the shoulder, right? Right, Bob? That's where mine was too, yeah, yeah. So if you become a cop in the 60s, you walk into a place and everybody stay away from you because your hair is cut and it's just this. They would stay away from them. Well, when we joined, at least I know I had to get my hair cut when I joined, but it was more common to have shorter hair then. In the 60s, they give you a heads up, listen, no matter where you go, they're going to expect you're a cop. And right now, people don't like cops in the 60s. Of course, they don't like them in the 70s or 80s or 90s. I'm thinking of it, okay. But you get the heads up, but you had to determine, hey, I know, and they might tell that I'm a cop because my hair is cut that way, but this is my calling. My calling is to uphold the laws of the communities and help people. So you went in with the knowledge of, man, you're going to be, if I can say, persecuted for being in law enforcement. Our times, not quite as much. Even if people didn't like us, they couldn't really pick it out that well. Well, we have the same thing with the master toward every one of us. Man, if you're going to follow me, if you're really going to be a true follower of me, they're going to hate you, man. Why would they hate me, Jesus? Oh, because they hated me, he says. But I'm telling you what, he says, you abide in me. You let me just keep pumping myself into you. Let my word just continue to renew your mind with me. And I'll give you the strength. And I'm telling you what, you follow me, man, it's going to be the awesomest thing you ever done in your life. Every one of us want our life to mean something, right? Your legacy, you want, you know, to mean something when you leave this world. Some people, they want to have the most Lego toys put together. I think that's my son's job. Not Brian. Vincent. And he's like Lego. Woo. Yeah. He loves Jesus, okay? You know what I'm saying? But man, to step out of this world and know that your life influenced one person. Isn't that an awesome thing? And that God used you for one person. You think, well, that's one person. Act that one person. Remember the old, what are those starfishes, or what are they calling things, laying along the beach? Starfish. You throw one back in, there's a million laying out there. You throw one back in, what's that going to do? What good is that going to do? Well, if that one little fish means the whole world to him, you know? Amen. But so he says, in these times that you are in, that you abide in me, let me pour myself in. Well, you might be doing fine now. You have no issues going on right now. Life is pretty normal. But in the time that we've been called to live in, they're not going to be normal. I mean, this is going to be really abnormal. And we're going to need everything that the Master has already put out there for us to honor Him. And that way, you're not shooken. Shaken. There's a teacher back here. I'll go home this afternoon. Okay, well, he didn't say this. No, just kidding. She has my permission to always correct me. Because some words I say are really opposite words I want to say, and then you get a whole different meaning on the message today. But I'm going to tell you yesterday. Anybody go through the storm yesterday? That wind and stuff? Wow, I tell you, we were blessed at the church here. We had the Progressive Valley had a soup supper, and they called me to come get the soup at 1 o'clock in Progressive Valley. And I tell you what, I prayed so much. I'm sitting there waiting for them to show up. My truck is like back and forth and back and forth. I spoke to the wind and stuff. Made it back to the church. It just what a storm. Got home, the power's out. And did it shake me up any? No. If you've been around us for the ministry the last 20 years, be prepared. We know we got some heavy times coming. You're talking about earthquakes and, of course, power outages. We're talking about tornadoes and all that stuff. So over the years, we've been preparing. I walked in. Carol's sitting in the chair. The dog's sleeping. She says, the power's out. Oh, okay. I went in and got my little generator. Went downstairs. Plugged in my internet, which gave me phone service again, which gave me texting ability to let people know, hey, our power's out. We're doing great. Got out our solar panel generator, put it in the kitchen, plugged the refrigerator in, boom, freezer's in good shape. We had food everywhere if we wanted to, you know. It was only out 4 hours, so we didn't eat all the food yet. But if you ever go home like that, I'd get a quick snack. I really want to caution you. If it's Saturday night and you're going to preach on Sunday, stay away from the goose liver and horseradish and hot sauce sandwiches. Yeah. And now you want to stay away from me a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But again, being prepared. Over the years, we prepare for these situations, okay? We have whatever we need, I think we got pretty well good handles on it. But it took a determination that, hey, listen, these things will happen, and we need to prepare for them. And it wasn't easy. If you ever bought a solar panel generator, they're kind of expensive. So you sacrifice for a few years to pay for it. But it's worth it, right? You know, you're just getting things ready for when you need. That way, when it happens, yeah, you don't really like the inconvenience of it. You know, I mean, I couldn't watch Lawrence Welk last night. But I could, but I don't want to use my energy for that. But you just go with the flow. People could text me. I let people know what's going on. We checked a couple of folks, make sure they've done okay. If they needed something we had, we could share with it. But all that is contained in the Word of God, that in the days that we'll be living in, these things will be taking place, and just being prepared for it. So it doesn't throw us off guard. In the same way, it is with His Word. You know, abide in His Word. Let His Word continue to come into us. Honor His Word. Let it strengthen us. Knowing these things will come our way. Being prepared for it. And do you ever go somewhere and think, man, they don't like me? Not me, you. You know, like, oh man, I'm going to go there and they're going to start a fight because they know I love Jesus, I follow Christ. Do you ever have anything like that you go to? Anybody? Okay. But before you go, prepare for it. How do you prepare for it? Number one, pray. Lord, I'm going to go there. I represent you. Holy Spirit, just guide me. I'm not going there for confrontation. I don't want to fight. I just want to share your love, and they don't hear it. Hey, I'll just keep my mouth shut. I don't say something I shouldn't. Being prepared for it, you go. And boy, I tell you what, 90% of the time, it goes fantastic. There's still that 10% of the time that, okay, we'll leave it alone. But being prepared for it, knowing these things, knowing that your calling is. Sometimes you go to a place, I'm going to go today, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You ever had one of them days? No woman is saying yes. Hell yeah, no. No, I'm just kidding you. But you say, I'm not going to mention the Lord, but I'm just going there, eat my sandwich. And you get in there, wherever you might be, it could be a family thing, it could be a restaurant. But inside of you, you just can't keep your mouth shut. Right? Something raised up to share Jesus. You might have the worst waitress you ever had in your life. She's treating you mean and terrible. You ever have one of those? Not you, Daryl. Your restaurant's perfect, buddy. Okay? No. But there's the opportunity to share Jesus. Why is that person so aggravated today? What's going on? I don't know. But who do you represent? You represent the world? Or do you represent Jesus? Doesn't Jesus say to be the salt of the earth? But you should add flavor to any conversation and turn it around? Hey, so what? Your steak is burnt, your potatoes aren't mashed right, and something's crawling around your salad. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that happens. If you live in the country, that don't surprise you. You have that all the time, you know? You just put whatever it is out of the salad and go on with it, you know? But what an opportunity. You're still saying in sacred ground. Thank you, brother. You realize that, yeah. You realize that, man, this is God's territory. And so, God, let me respond in a positive way. And it might be saying, boy, thank God I didn't order the soup too. You know? But always responding in a positive way. And how do you prepare for that? Is allowing this Word to be with you. And honor it wherever you go. In John, I want to step over to John for a second. Get my notes here. In John 8:31 is an area where we talk about that Jesus was talking to the Jews who had believed in Him. He said, if you continue my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's John 8:31 and 32. Be easier this way. And we can sit here today and say, well, yes, praise God for the truth. He has set me free. But the question is, are you truly free from everything? Oh, you're free from your sin debt. Amen? He paid for that. But have you allowed the Word of God truly to set you free from everything? In John 1:12, These words here, the scriptures here, I pray will encourage you, remind you who you are in Christ. But John 1:12, he says this. He says, "But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." So he didn't just come to pay the penalty of your sin. He came to make you children of God. Think of that. You get sit around time like you really get down on yourself. Who am I? Or maybe you had some issues in the family. Maybe your dad wasn't. Maybe your dad had issues and he took it out on you. I mean, whatever it might be, but and you're down on yourself. I've known people afraid to tell me their name because their last name doesn't carry very good reputation in town. But reputation is assigned to people. It shouldn't be assigned to names. Amen? Born again, you're a child of God. Wow. Think of that. Well, let's step over in Proverbs 22:6 for a moment. Are you a child of God, Daryl? Amen. Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go. And when I say that, for a lot of us, it might bring a heaviness on you. I mean, when you raise your children, you didn't know Jesus yet? Okay. But did you train them up in anything? Did you train the child how to walk? Is that something important to do? Amen. Very. Did you ever teach a child how to go to the potty? Very important. You ever teach a child to be potty trained and they still messed up? And you say, "Okay, kid, get out of my house. We're going to have another kid." No. What did you do? You cleaned them up. Yeah, potty training. Amen. Somebody's listening to me. Amen. You clean them up. So, listen. You can tell when you have to go. So, please let me know the next time, okay? And you encourage them, you know? Would you look at your kids and say, "Man, you stupid thing. What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah." You wouldn't want to do that, would you? No. You teach them how to walk. Man, and it's funny. The first kid that you have, at least speaking from experience, probably, two things I learned from the first kid. Number one, you want to teach them how to walk, right? Then you learn on the second kid, don't, because they get into everything, okay? And the other thing you don't teach, if I learned on the second kid, don't teach them to say daddy. You know, you always say daddy, I remember, yeah, daddy, daddy. Well, he'd be in his bedroom, then wake up in the morning, he'd say, "Dad, daddy," and Carol, he's calling for you. So we learn as time goes on. Okay, let's teach them that. But it is expecting that child to fall, picking back up again, teaching them how to walk, how to tie his shoes, how to go to the restroom, all through life. You teach them how to get dressed. You teach them how to tie the shoes. I mean, do you ever give a kid a pair of shoes at 2 years old and tell them to tie them? And don't tell me Velcro, okay? I love Velcro. But it used to be a day he had a tie. Remember that the rabbit goes in the hole and chases the hound dog or something like that? However that saying went. But if you can be very patient with your children or your grandchildren, well, let me ask you this. Let's go back again to John 1:12. What did John 1:12 say? "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become," do what? "Become a child of God." A child. Now, did he say he gave you the right to become an adult of God? No. Why do you say a child? Because you had to start and learn. Amen? Now, how many of you here are so hard on yourself because you're a child of God and you can't tie your shoes right and run a marathon? Otherwise, you're not a Billy Graham. Do you think Billy Graham, I don't know him that well, I guess, but I don't imagine at 2 years old he was preaching yet. I imagine he had to learn to be potty trained. I think he had to learn. I think Billy Graham would have to probably go to Sunday school. He had to hear about Jesus somewhere, right? Wow. And was he perfect from the first time he heard about the Lord? He had to grow, did he not? But Billy Graham had to grow. And if you go through all the great preachers and any Christian, why do you sell yourself so short? Why do you get down on yourself so much when you dirty your pants? Did he not say, train a child on the way? How do you train a child of God? Through His Word. Amen. Do you know, kid, I didn't have it. I'm probably one of the last generations. I don't know. I don't think Carol had it either. They didn't have kindergarten when I was a kid. Then they had preschool. They had that preschool. And I think what brought all that on was my generation wanted to get rid of the kids quick. You know, at 2 years old, you send them to school. We didn't have that. We had first grade. Okay? But what happened was you brought the kids together and the teacher instructed them. And some learned different routes. Okay? I learned something really quickly. Some things I never learned. Okay? But same way here. We come together. It's kind of like, in a way, preschool or school. We come together. Amen? Hear the Word of God. And, you know, some of us walk a different path to the Lord, or we got a different calling. Okay? You're not called to be Starkey, right? You're called to be yourself. And while you're walking, you fall. And in your head, you get this thinking, I just can't do this. And you know it's a lie, because you can do this, right? Because who lives inside of you? Jesus. Amen. Do you not stand on holy ground with Him? Amen. See, the devil wants you to give up. But folks, I'm telling you, Peter was an awesome man, but he fell and got back up. Fell and got back up. Jesus reestablished him. And what Jesus spoke to him. How did He reestablish us? The Lord through His Word. Amen. I mean, when we look at people who came before us and they're willing to be honest and share with us how they fell and got back up and fell and got back up again, that encourages us. And sometimes by learning how people fail, we can avoid that, right? So, man, better watch out. And other times we think, well, it won't happen to me. I'll do it that way. And we fall, right? But it's learning. To raise a child. You're a child of God. And every day you're learning. Every day you should be getting strength, and every day you're learning to eat those peas and carrots. And not all chocolate candy, right? Because chocolate candy, too much of it isn't good for you. But again, a child, isn't this what you're called to do? How's that song go? I won't sing too much. We decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross, something like that. Okay. But you've decided to do that. Amen? So what do you want? You want this Word to transform you. Because no one drugged, well, I don't think no one got drugged into the church this morning, right? You came in because you wanted to be here. Amen? You wanted to be like, okay, this is a crazy preacher's going to say today. I don't know. You came in for a reason. God pulled you in here. Because you want to grow in Christ. And say, okay, let my Word consume you. Just surrender to me completely. Yeah, you know, many of you guys have here been in the military. I know, I talked to all you guys. You guys love boot camp. Everybody loved the drill sergeant. I mean, Brian's got a drill sergeant picture on his arm, and I think Fred, you walk in his house, he's got a drill picture. Yeah, I know he does, yeah, yeah. He didn't know that Brenda was in the Army with him. Brenda was a drill sergeant. No, just kidding. But you realize, the drill sergeant, probably, after you got out, and you got out there among your calling in the military, the mean that he was, and the stuff he made you do, and wouldn't let you do, you realize it was for your own good. Amen? Because most of the time, what we want to do, we want to take the softest, easiest way to get around things. Kind of like when you go to the doctor. If you don't ask you a certain question, you don't tell him, right? You want to get in there, you want to get out, right? Yeah. Oh, man. Even though you're walking out like this. No, I'm okay, doc. Okay? You don't realize that he's there to help you. And some things you have to share with your doctor could be kind of embarrassing, maybe. You know? I mean, especially if you have a doctor that is the opposite sex of you. You're like, oh. But you got to realize and trust the doctor. They're there to help you if you allow them to do that. And the Word of God the same way. The Word of God's here to transform you, to create you in the image of God. And to realize that you are a child of God, and He wants to raise you in the way that you should go. When you get old, you won't depart from it. You know? I raised my son the way he should go. I believe as a man, to take care of his family, to work, take care of his wife. But man, I didn't raise my son to be a man of God. My wife took him to church. And I was there twice a year. You know, like I said before, I don't know why I went. He's had the same sermon every time I went. But at 43, wow, I became a child of God. He started raising me through His Word how I should go. And I remember I got born again. The first thing I did, I bought that movie, Left Behind. Kurt Cameron, the first one, and I had the guys, hey man, listen, this is true. You know, not everything your dad did. I mean, I left God out of my equation. I mean, I did a good job. I mean, I had a good reputation to a degree. That wasn't it. I'm chasing bad guys. We both had a heart attack and died. We both been in hell. You know, I just thank God I survived. You know, and I just thank God what He has done in my son's life. You know, and I pray for my sons. I stand on the Word of God. You know that? For my children, my children's children, my children's children. I thank You, Lord, for their salvation. I thank You, God, that their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I'm written there? No, not yet. But they're going to be. I haven't even met my great-great-grandkids yet. Yeah, but I'm telling you, thank You, Lord, they're my inheritance. I got a good inheritance. I speak the Word of God. I plead the blood of Christ over them. Woo-wee! Yes. I would never have that if I hadn't come to know Jesus. And I've learned that through the years. Why? I'm a child of God. I've been trained the way that I should go. And I'm learning more and more and more. Are you all the same way? Still learning? Applying more of the Word of God to you? That's what He wants us to do. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, guys. He says, therefore, anyone in Christ is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, is the Word of God true? Amen. Amen. It's true. You cannot find a lie. Or you can find a lie from the devil in there, but the lie is to show you the truth that the devil is a liar. Amen? That's complicated. Think about that later on in the day, around dinner. But he says, you're a new creature. The old things have passed away. Your old life, before you come to Jesus, in God's eyes, is gone. Amen? It is gone. So number one, why do you live there so often? Why do you allow the devil to bring you back where you came from? You don't live there anymore, amen? Why do you hang around people that will bring your past up to you and beat you over the head with it? You don't live there anymore, do you? Amen? I mean, send me a postcard there, baby, I ain't there. Return to sender, address on that. Amen? So again, these are things, again, train a child up in the way he should go. We had to rethink our mind. We had to retrain our minds. Well, hey, that's in the past. And maybe you should read this every day if you have a hard time with the past. You know? We've all made mistakes in the past. I believe we have. Amen? We've all maybe treated people the way we shouldn't have treated them, maybe. And maybe we've been treated the way we shouldn't have been treated, right? Well, when we come to Christ and we receive the forgiveness for our sins, boom! It should go through us and we forgive all those who have sinned against us. Because they were following the same God that you was. And that's the God of this earth, which is the devil. Amen? He says that your father is the devil before you come to know Jesus. So you might have been a different part of the family tree, of the devil's tree, but the same lies tainted your life as he did theirs. If you don't live there anymore, don't go there. And folks, don't take other people back to where they used to live at. That's very important. That's very important we don't do that. And we get upset with people. We get upset brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? He wants to work out. You get mad at me? Bring it to me, okay? I'll tell you. No. We want to discuss it. We want to pray about it. And that the Word of God will be the resolution. What the Word of God said, that's true. And we're going to find a resolution. We're not going to be separated. Amen? He wants us that way. But sometimes when folks, when they're coming to church and they want to know the Lord, and they're helping you and you're helping them, and they turn around, and we would say, stab you in the back. And the first thing, they, yeah, I knew that. I knew that you were just playing church. They just came in here to take advantage of me. That's a lie of the devil. No one can take advantage of you. Number one, if you're praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to help this person? Amen. Come on, preach it, girl. Amen. How do you want me to help this person? And he'll say, well, maybe he'll say, well, I want you to give him $10. Because they just said that, I got amen out of Charlie on the money part, yeah. But he said, yeah, I want you to give them $10 because you know they needed milk and bread, okay? And you give it to them. Wow. And then you leave, and you go around the store, and you see them in line at Burger King or someplace. They're going to buy a quick meal for $10 instead of going to the store and buying lunch meat and bread and milk. I knew that's what they want. No. Did you not show God's love? Didn't you give them God's $10? Amen. Don't let that taint you. You do what God laid on her because you prayed about it. Now, we do things on our own. We do things, well, then we got to watch out. Always seek the Lord. When He says to do, you do it. Boom. They come in the next day. Next week they show up. Hey, man, I need some milk and bread. God says, okay, Starkey. Take them to the store. Okay, come on, God. Amen. But showing God's love. And then many times people are won to the Lord because of His love and His kindness. You know? But the thing is don't let the division start. Now, you got to use wisdom. If you have somebody that only does that to use people with, God will say, okay, it's done. Amen? But the thing of it is that you're a new creature. We got the things in the past, stay in the past, and quit trying to drag other people back when you get upset with them. And you start talking about their past. Hey, they don't live there anymore either. They're not perfect yet. You're not perfect yet. But we're here to encourage one another, right? Amen. That's what He wants us to do. In Revelation 2:17, He says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, churches, buildings, but also churches, you are the church. Amen. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. It says, to him who overcomes. So to overcome something, you have to work for something, right? In a way, I mean, overcome something, I don't know, if you want to lose weight, you got to overcome eating, right? You got to have that desire. And you read things about eating properly, all this stuff here, yeah, because you want to overcome it, okay? So, again, raise a child in a way he should what? The way he should go. It will not depart from it. Raising a child. Let the Word of God to raise you, to change you. Those who overcome, He will give some of the hidden manna, which is eternal life. I'll give you a white stone. Now, you think of white stone, wow. I mean, in heaven, there's pearls, there's diamonds, there's fancy jewelry. I have no idea how to say the words, okay? But the white stone, why a white stone? Because, and you got to know the custom. The custom. You know, if Fred and I had a court case, and someone was on trial, we wait for the jury to come out. And the judge would say, the foreman of the jury, stand up, please. Have you reached a verdict in this case? And the foreman would say, yes, Your Honor, we have. Based upon the evidence we received, we find that the defendant is not guilty. Okay? Or we say, well, we weighed the evidence, and we like the haircut the officer had. We find them guilty. Oh, wow. Well, going back in the day of the Jewish day, when you were on trial, if they brought a white stone out, that meant he was not guilty, set free. So what it says here, and I will give him a white stone. Overcome, that means eternal life with a new name on it. Think of that. Raise the child the way he should go. Allow the Word of God to change you, to strengthen you. Oh, that you're not the same. And in Romans 8:38, think of this. We're talking about wherever you go, with Christ in you, is holy ground. Romans 8:38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So all the things that you can put yourself through, all the stumbling blocks you can go through following Christ, it will not remove the love He has for you. And that love motivates us to get back up again, right? That love says, yes, I can overcome this with Christ Jesus. And his love doesn't stop. We might feel bad when we sin, when we go against what He told us to do. We read it, we got it in our spirit, but man, we messed up. We'll feel bad about it, but His love is still there. I don't know how many times in my lifetime is because of the love my wife had for me that I'm still here. I mean, I still got a house. Because the love is a lot deeper than an emotion. That's the love He has for you. He wants you to succeed. In order to do that, okay, abide in me, I'll abide in you. Amen? My word is my word. It should change us. We gotta watch out. The old devil will get in your head. And he'll take the word of God and he'll help you water it down. He'll help you take what God says, hey, stay away from this. And he'll water it down and say, yeah, but. And I'm telling you what, we shall learn clear back in the Garden of Eden that Satan has a way of taking God's word and twisting it around. And God's word never changes. And society changes. God's word never does. When you read that word and it says this is forbidden, you get away from it. Don't let somebody try to change it. Well, Pastor, don't we all stumble? Stumble. So, I'm sorry. Stumbling is an accident. Understand that. Stumbling is an accident. But stepping into sin with full knowledge, staying in sin is not an accident. It's rebellion against God. Amen? And he says rebellion against God is the same as witchcraft. Understand that. And it's so important because he wants you all on the same level of feeling. God's word is true. And we are followers of Jesus. We want this word to transform us. We want to be his image because, man, he took my dead life. He took my worthless life that I had. And he gave me purpose. He gave me life. And there, Starkey, walking this way. Thank you, Lord. And I read, I study. It's just more revelation for me. And I find myself, man, not sinning like I used to. Amen? I don't want to sin. That's my desire. But the Word of God says, hey, Starkey, this is my word. Do not do this. Hey, listen, there's 613 commandments in the Bible. One ain't going to hurt. 612, not bad, right? That's a lie. I'm just saying, when God's word says, walk this way, and I won't sing it this time. When it says, walk this way, do this, and we say, I know what it says, but I'm going to do this other way. Man, you're in rebellion against God. And he looks at the same thing as witchcraft. Why would we not want to do what God's word says? Don't we want to be his followers? Amen. Then it gives us a new life. Amen. We don't live where we used to, right? Amen. In 1 John 2:12, he says, I'm writing to you. John is. He says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. Again, we are children. He's writing to us. And we're growing in the Lord. We want to. We don't want to stumble. We don't want to dirty our pants. We want to represent. That's our desire. And everyone was here. Again, we could be at different levels, but we're here to encourage one another. Amen? He wants us to do that. In Ephesians 1:5, he talks about you've been adopted. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Adopted. He wanted you. In all your stinkiness, he wanted you. Maybe the whole world rejected you, but God said, no, I'll take you. I got a purpose for you. Wow, adopted. Give you life. Joshua 1:9, I shared that kind of like earlier, says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you walk, he's there with you. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. That's what the following of Jesus gives you. He's got a plan for it. Now, you already tell in John 10:10, that Satan, which would be our ex-father, if we can say that, if you're born again, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hasn't changed. Anything we operate outside the Word of God, rebellion to God, is there to destroy you. And folks, not just yourself, it will come after your children. Your children's children. Amen? Think of that. Why would we not want to follow him completely? He's got plans for you. Do you know anybody who's got plans for you that's not very good for you? Yeah. But doesn't God have a plan for you? I mean, if anybody could reject us because of who he was, it'd be God. And he's the one that comes and gathers us. Hey, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jeremiah 29:12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Just two more verses and we'll be done. But there's a key there. When you will seek and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When like, God, I need you. You're my inspiration. You're my wind. You're my life. I need you, God. What I had with you, and I think Carol said that, Ryan's word came out today. It says, hey, I can't live on last year's presence of God. I can't live on last year's word that he gave me. I need a fresh word today. I need it more in the next day, in the next day. I need to seek you, man. And so you get this word out. So, okay, oh, that was a good word. Carol has a habit in her Bible. She'll write down dates. Oh, man, this really spoke to you. I started doing that myself. Write down a date. My might say, you know, July of 07. Got a verse circle, and, you know, that God spoke to me. But when you get into the Word of God, say, oh, man, that was an awesome word back then, but God, I need something different today. And you start reading the Scripture, and it jumps out at you. Kind of like during praise and worship. When you say you're standing on holy ground. We're on holy ground because your presence is here. Doesn't your presence go with us? It took me to Deuteronomy. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. Wow. So to me, that's going to be encouraging. Wherever you go this week, no matter what you're entering, man, it's holy ground. God is with you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Romans 12:1 and 12:2. These are the last scriptures for the day. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is a spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And there's a key there, is renewing of your mind. Remember that old address, you don't live there anymore, right? And you got to remind yourself, I don't live there anymore. That's under the blood. What I've done there has been forgiven by God. The whole world might never forgive me. I don't care about that. The world is not going to be sitting in my judgment seat. My God is. And he's redeeming me. And so as I hear that, man, you know, I laugh at my wife all the time. I don't laugh at her, but I laugh this way. Sure I have a habit to say this. Hey, Starkey, do you love me? And number one, it's sad. She has to ask me if I love her. Okay? She says, hey, oh, honey, do you love me? And I say, well, every man says. I married you, didn't I? Okay. Yeah. The love that I said I love you on our wedding night 40 some years ago doesn't go for today. You know what I'm saying? And so when I said, oh, Lord, I love you 23 years ago to Jesus, oh, thank you. Oh, that's awesome. God hugged me. That hug there was great for that day. But this is a new day. I need that hug again. I need that reassurance. I know he loves me. Okay, but you ever get the point with, you know, husband and wife, do you really love me? I love you. Just that reassurance. And then when you get up in the morning and my wife's sitting there and we see each other, we don't even talk. Just reassurance. Oh, man, that she does love me. And you open that Word of God up and you read maybe one verse, the verse of the day. And it'll just take you on a walk. Oh, man, God, you do love me. I love you too. And y'all, if God loves me, or if we say it this way, if God's for you, who can be against you? Amen? So, folks, let that Word of God renew your mind. Cast down the thoughts that Satan or other people try to bring up to you. Yeah, I can go some places that say, oh, Stark, yeah. Oh, I remember some stuff you used to do. I said, well, that's under the blood. I choose to forget. You might want to remember, that's up to you. But I'm a new creation. And then they're afraid you talk about Jesus or leave you alone, you know. But amen. Amen. But, you know, again, let him transform you. Raise yourself in the ways of the Lord by his word. You stumble, get back up again. Clean yourself off and just keep going. Keep going. Let the past stay in the past. Look toward your future. And enjoy Jesus. He is coming soon.